This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Embracing Change. We are so excited that you have joined us for another episode. This season, we have been talking about resetting outcomes. And the last two episodes, we talked about redevelop equals renovation. We talked about recreate equals refresh. And today we're going to talk about forgiveness equals freedom. And when I was thinking about this whole subject, I was trying to think of all of the different things that affected me and were barriers into my healing. And unforgiveness was really a big one for me. Was it anything that like was a barrier for you as you were walking along your path of healing?
Oh, of course, I think so. I think unforgiveness is 99.9% the reason most of us stay stuck.
I can believe that.
I think 1.1% is the reason we don't. But so 99.99, I believe, is the reason we stay stuck is because we don't forgive.
Let's talk a little bit about what forgiveness is at its very basic. So forgiveness, as I've been able to define it, is just releasing of a debt. When someone offends you, they've created a debt and they owe you something, whatever it might be. Might be in your mindset, you are thinking of, oh, they need to make some sort of restitution to me. And so what forgiveness then is, according to what psychologists define it as, they say that it can be a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance towards a person or a group who have harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. And I thought that was interesting, the word deserve your forgiveness.
Yeah, deserve. Now, what if we didn't deserve forgiveness?
Right, right.
You know, that's a very interesting word. What I'm coming to, you know, I guess I would ask you based on this, just to let you guys know, Jennifer's kind of taking the lead in this. This is her topic, not mine. I'm participating with. Usually I come up with most of the topics, and I invited her in there to do some of the topics this time. And so this is one of her topics. So
yeah.
I may take some leads on asking the questions. So I guess right now I'm going to ask you the question with when you hear the word deserve, what does that trigger for you?
The first thing I thought of, and this will be covered in like some of the myths that we'll talk about, when I think about someone deserving forgiveness, that they've made some sort of repentance or they've tried to make the restitution or they tried to pay back the debt, then I would think in my head, oh, well, maybe they deserve forgiveness. But if you don't even know what forgiveness really is completely, how do you know if someone deserves it or doesn't deserve it? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you then?
Or is it really an offense that needs to be forgiven? See, that's the other thing. Some things are not necessarily something I need to forgive you for. That's the whole thing. Like, I've learned about offenses versus just somebody having their feelings hurt. There's a big difference. Some things, you may have got offended not because I really did anything to you, just because you allowed your emotions to be greater than the situation we were talking about. And so you kind of use your emotions as a way with your cognitive thinking to guard yourself or to be hurt, to be a victim, because you still didn't want to face the fact that what I shared with you was truth, even in love. My approach could be the nicest way, and yet you can walk away and your mind can let you tell yourself that you are offended. Are you really offended, or are you really offended? So if you're offended, yes, there may be a conversation for forgiveness. If I intentionally hurt you, or you got hurt even with it not being my intentions. Or are you offended because what I told you was true and you're just not willing to look at it yet? And so it's easier to be offended and blame me than it is for you to own up to the responsibility of looking at yourself.
Yeah, but I think like you have to, if it has created an offense or a wound in you, even if you're not having a conversation with that other person, you have to take that first step and say, I'm going to let it go, and then consider what has been presented to you in a more objective way.
But that takes, but see, that's the thing with forgiveness for me, in order to find freedom, since we're saying forgiveness equals freedom.
Right.
In order to do that, that takes maturity.
It does.
And so if you're not mature enough or you haven't developed enough in your own self to sit yourself down and set outside of yourself the situation or the conversation, you could just run around being offended and hurt, and it's not even, it's your stuff. It's what you're really feeling.
Right.
But are you giving the responsibility, or are you attaching it in the right way?
Right. And you have to learn, just like you said, the maturity.
Exactly.
To be able to, like, say, like for me, I used to get offended from people over stupid stuff, but it would stick with me for a long time. And I would think, well, they should have known that that hurt my feelings, or wow, they were really cruel to me. And then I got to thinking about that in more of, like I said, an objective way. And I thought, well, it really wasn't about me. They probably had no idea that hurt my feelings. And did it, was it something that was really hurtful in the first place? In the moment that it was, and so I acknowledge the emotion is just an emotion. There's no moral value to it. But later on down the line, I had to really look at that and go, well, were my emotions honest? Were they true to what was going on in the event? And we've talked about this before, about how the facts of a situation are different than the emotion of a situation.
Or the truth of a situation.
Of the truth of a situation. But if you take your emotional responses and you always attach it to, it is absolutely the truth, then you can't get past certain things. Because sometimes you have to think, well, maybe this is what I felt, but is that the truth of what's going on here? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I just go back to real, you know, you got to distinguish what's is it a true offense, or are you being offended because it is the truth I'm sharing with you, or you experienced the truth that, or are you being offended? Is it an offense, or is it a rub wrong, or is it a something that has created you to stir up a trigger in you, and now you need to look at the trigger and why I'm feeling this way.
Yeah,
and what is that? Why am I being triggered by this situation? And keep going to the why till it's down to the nub.
Yeah, get down deep.
Mm-hmm.
Get down to the deep part of the issue.
Because it, you know, forgiveness is not a, it's an action word. It's not, you know what I'm saying, like love. It's an action word. Forgiveness, you have to do it 70 times 7 according to the Bible.
Yeah.
So it's over and over and over and over. It's not something you just do once. You do it every time it comes up after you realize that the way you were looking at it from the perspective or the perception you were, the perspective you were looking at it was not the true way to put it together. Because I think sometimes you have to dismantle situations.
To get to the truth of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that involves both cognitive and emotion, both. And
we'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the two different kinds of forgiveness. There is cognitive forgiveness, and then there's emotional forgiveness.
Let's talk about cognitive.
So with cognitive forgiveness, it is a mental decision to forgive, but you may still feel the emotion of it. Case in point, my biggest trauma with my dad. I walked through cognitive forgiveness probably the entirety of my adult life, but never really got to emotional forgiveness. Cognitive forgiveness, or unforgiveness, I should say, is constantly dwelling on the situation, constantly thinking about how you were wronged. The emotional unforgiveness would be you're feeling that same sort of trauma, that same sort of anger, hatred, the unfairness of it. So,
can I ask you something in that emotional?
Sure.
Is it just towards the one person? Or do the emotional come out even if it appears to be the same with someone else?
No, that's great. That's a great question. And yes, I would almost consider that to be like a trigger. If someone is very similar to a situation you've been in before, or even if you mentally make that leap, that situation is similar to one you've been in before, you will react in the same way which may be way inappropriate.
And then you will end up having an offense with that person.
Right.
And then there's another level of unforgiveness that you find towards that person because it's connected to the original unforgiveness that you had with the first person.
Right, right. So you have to kind of dig in, like you were saying to your point earlier, just digging into the why and the why and the why. But talking about trauma and triggers, I mean, that's exactly it right there. That can be another form of a trigger, is encountering someone that you then make that association for whatever reason.
And that may be a connection that you realize you haven't forgiven the original situation, because if every time that other person triggers that wound in you and that trauma, then that means that you've not completely dealt with it, which, like you said, the cognitive or the emotional. Because emotions, I've learned, can feel more real than the cognitive if you're not careful.
Yeah.
And we deal more on the emotional level of life than we do the thinking. If we really could use our brain, they say we only use a percentage of it. And so if we used our cognitive brain if we lean towards it more than emotions, I think that we could dismantle stuff before we let it become an emotional wreck.
Right. That's what mindfulness teaches. Like, in order to process an emotion in a healthy way, it's being able to look at it objectively and acknowledge what you feel. Yeah, I'm feeling angry about the situation or about whatever. And being able to admit that and process that and say, yeah, why am I feeling angry? Well, I'm feeling angry because of blah, blah, blah. And letting yourself feel that and process that. So they're uniquely connected together. I never knew how to help, like, process an emotion in a healthy way for the longest time. And it's the biggest first step is just acknowledging it. This is what I really feel.
And then asking, what's the next step?
Being able to say, well, why do I feel like I feel? What is this really, what's this really touching on? Is it abandonment that it's touching on and that makes me angry? Or is it because I had a situation happen, like really digging down again? This is the third time around this, so maybe God's really wanting to drive this home with somebody. But just really digging down and asking those questions again and being willing to listen to the answers that you come up with as being truths instead of like, oh, I didn't really, that sounds silly, you know, and dismissing it really easily.
And Jim, being open to being curious enough, I think curiosity is a great opportunity to be curious enough to question. I think a lot of times we are not allowing ourselves to be curious enough because there's so many parts of us we think we already know.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And curiosity is an opportunity to learn.
Even about yourself, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting when you find out something new about yourself.
It is. It's like, woo, I get grateful.
Yeah.
My first response is wow or woo wee.
Woo wee.
You know, ooh wee. And then I get grateful.
Yeah.
But ooh wee is probably my first response. And then it's, my God, thank you for being so patient with me. Thank you for waiting on me to show up here. Thank you for believing that I would show up here.
Yeah.
And that I'm willing to look at this in a deeper way. I'm willing to dismantle what was and really let you remantle what is. So I can live in the freedom that you gave me.
Mm. Mm. Gosh, that's so good. That is so good. Well, I want to talk for a second about what unforgiveness does to you physically.
Yeah.
And it can, when I was doing my research on this, like what are some of the ways in which it affects you physically, I had discovered that unforgiveness can trigger in you basically a stress response. And you know, when you're living under a lot of stress, that can be very hard on your body, right? It can cause higher instances of mental health issues and diagnoses. It can cause a shorter lifespan because, you know, living under stress constantly is not good on your body. It can also cause something that I had never heard of called toxic anger. And that it's different than healthy anger. So healthy anger is when you are feeling
indignation, maybe?
Yeah.
Healthy anger is also feeling like something injustice is happening. It's this is indignant.
Yeah, yeah. So it can be an anger that you feel, that you process in a healthier way, whereas toxic anger is constant unresolved anger over and over and over again to where it can really take root, to where you're angry all the time. And I know you've known people that are like constantly angry about anything. Like they're just looking for something to be angry about, right? Like you go, wow, they're just an angry person.
I don't usually hang out with people like
well,
that.
Well, no, but I mean, but in the field in which we work.
I mean, I see that, and I already know now in the field that I work is that anger is not an emotion. It is a defense mechanism. Anger is not really, you know, it really isn't. Like, if I'm angry, it's usually the secondary emotion. It's
an emotion. Deeper.
It's not usually the primary. It's the secondary or the third dairy. You know, I don't even know if it's a third dairy, but it's a third. But it's usually the secondary. Pain, hurt, abandonment, something else is the primary.
Right, you've
defended yourself with anger. So someone like that, as you say, chronic angry is because they have not go back to digging deep.
Yeah.
And so they're just constantly angry all the time and defensive.
Yep.
Projecting onto other people, pushing people away, believe they know already. You know, it's like on and on and on. And so you walk into and they become hostile.
Yeah, they're people that you would say they're hammers just looking for a nail.
Exactly.
That's toxic anger.
Mm-hmm.
And that can totally like limit your life. It's basically a stress response, which is just completely bad for you. But I want to talk about like why, besides the obvious, like from a God perspective, why you should forgive. And you already mentioned one of those, that we were commanded by God to forgive 70 times 7. And I don't know what the calculation is of that, but when I have a hard time even forgiving 7 times. Do you know what I mean? Like that can be like incredibly hard. So are you doing the calculation?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
490 times.
490 times.
70 times 7 is that, and that can be on the same issue.
On the same
issue. You know,
issue.
Like when Peter asked, well, how many times should I forgive my brother? And he's like, 70 times 7. That means all the time. It's really, you know, so it's 490 times that I should forgive, even on the same issue.
Yeah, and that drives home the point of how important forgiveness is, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 22, if anybody wanted to look that up. And I also found it interesting that the scripture, Matthew 6:14, says, "For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." So your forgiveness is contingent upon your ability to forgive other people. And boy, that just like almost makes me want to melt in my chair, because that makes me think a lot differently about those times when I have been unforgiving towards other people, like somehow I'm holding them accountable when really my own forgiveness is like intricately linked into that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those verses that make me want to walk very carefully. And then that just goes right along with Mark 11:25. It says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins."
And I think that for Christians, we know that. Let's talk about people who may not be a Christian, or some people are just, you know, what does that mean? It's like, I say it's like this. The scripture says if you are praying and you stand and you realize you have unforgiveness, you go forgive and then come back. Well, that's the way you do it in the kingdom. If you're not in the kingdom and you're trying to learn about the kingdom, that's the kingdom way. But if you're just kind of coming into life and trying to have peace in your life, I say this, quit drinking poison thinking somebody else is going to die.
Right.
Because that's what unforgiveness is.
Yeah.
It's you drinking the poison, watching, and then waiting for them to die. But every time you're unforgiven, you're not forgiving someone else. I don't care what the situation is. It's you're taking on the poison. It goes back to the things it does to your health. And then you waiting for them to fall out and have a heart attack and get killed. Guess what's happening? You're dying every day yourself. So the altar piece for me, when I look in the natural, is saying quit drinking the poison and expecting a different result. Or expecting someone else to be, you know, be the residual effect of me drinking the poison. Then I fall out dead. And you wonder why I get to heaven and say, oh, why did I die, Lord? What was that about? He's like, oh, I'm sorry, you drunk the poison. But you thought you were poisoning someone else because you wasn't forgiving them.
Right. Yeah, that whole stress response, right? Kind of hook that in. That's a good segue into myths about unforgiveness. This, I think, is probably the most important thing, is really understanding. Like, we talked about the definition of forgiveness. We talked about how you process forgiveness. But I think we believe a ton of myths about forgiveness. Was there any myth that you had early on in your walk about forgiveness that you then blew away and said, no, nope, that's just not true?
Let's see. Golly. In the beginning, when I think about when my mom giving me away, yeah, I can think, yeah, I mean, it wasn't a myth. It was just that I just remember how God came to me and said, I feel like the Holy Spirit said, I dare you, hypocrite. You want to not forgive your mom for doing the exact thing you did. You just did it different. She gave you to a woman who raised you and took care of you the best she could. You went to prison 5 times and left your son for somebody else to take care of. So what is the difference? Isn't abandonment abandonment? Isn't rejection rejection? Mm. And so the myth was that I had a right to not forgive her, but somewhere I felt like my son should forgive me. And
oh,
it was,
that's good.
And the Lord had to show me that the forgiveness comes in both places. And let me show you how you really did model the very thing that happened to you. Let me show you how you did it to someone else.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times if we look back at our lives, good, bad, or indifferent, we may not do the same thing to someone, but we do something to someone. And that's the myth, is that you're not perfect. And so quit looking at yourself as some perfect person and look at what you have done. It may not be the exact same thing. It's another situation that happened to me. I stole someone's money, and I knew was very conscious of stealing it. I knew I was doing it. It was $600 and some. And I took her money. It was a friend. I took her money. And one day I had came home from a furlough for prison, and people had given me their money to buy them stuff to bring back. And she went with me, the girl's money I stole. And she knew I stole it, even though I had never admitted it, but she knew it was me. And I'll never forget that we went to the store, I bought all this stuff, and it probably came up to maybe $1,000 worth of stuff. And I left the stuff at my aunt's house. And I'll never forget, my aunt knew that we were friends, and she knew we had been together that day. I was with someone else. She circled back around and went to my aunt's house and said the things that I had bought in, that she had came to pick them up. And she got all the things that I had bought and took them back to the store and got the money. And when I found out I was on my way, I had to go back to prison or I would have been an escapee. And when I realized I got home that evening and I had to go back, she had did that. And I just remember in my heart something said, she only did to you what you did to her.
Yeah.
Now you know exactly how she felt. Even though you've never admitted that you did it, she knew you did it.
Yeah.
And she got you at the most inopportune moment, because I had to go back and tell those people that I was in prison with that their stuff got stolen by a friend. So it was double, right? Because then it looked like I stole their money. So you never know how it's going to come back.
I think that's a part of forgiveness too, is like making yourself equal with the other party. So that in essence was what you were doing with that person, right? You guys were then on equal footing and you were not above them. They weren't above you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And since then, that's why I used to say there's no honor among thieves, because, you know, we were friends and we still friends today, me and her.
Wow.
You know what I mean? She came to my play. She lives in Lexington. We still cool. You know what I mean? But we had to deal with that situation. And so.
You mean talk it out?
We talked it out. Yeah. I asked her to forgive me for taking from her. And she said, and I'm asking you to forgive me from taking for you. But now we even. And I said, no, we're even because we're both willing to forgive.
That's good that you guys get to do that. Sometimes you don't have that opportunity to work that out that way. So this goes back to the first myth. If I forgive them, it means that what they did was okay. Some people believe that's a myth, but some people believe that if I forgive that other person, what I'm saying is what they did is okay. And that is not what forgiveness is at all.
Right.
What they did is not okay at all. The second myth is if I forgive them, they're free from responsibility. And I want to challenge that myth with there is a difference between God's law and man's law and accountability that is totally unrelated to forgiveness. And forgiveness is all about you, and it has really nothing to do with that other party. Like, say your friend, she may not have thought about it as much as you thought about it. It may not have even crossed her mind as much as it crossed your mind. Do you know what I mean?
I am telling you, even though we've had the conversation and we're still cool, but we've never been as close as we used to be.
Because of that?
I do believe that. Yeah. I am open to be as close to her, but I don't think she's as open to be as close to me. I'm still very, very close to her sister. I just don't sense the closeness that she and I used to have.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I think even with my friend in that instance, yeah, I think that there was a still... We both took responsibility for what we did, and we took accountability, but I think it also broke the relationship. So the myth is that you got to be close friends with somebody after you did. That's a myth, too. You don't have to be close with someone that hurt you or that you, even if after they you forgive them, you don't have to be their buddy friend.
Right, right. That is one of the myths. If I forgive someone, it means I have to let them into my life. And if it's a... Not saying that this was the case in this person's case, but sometimes people are toxic. Yeah, you and your friend.
I think that it was. I think that she always has a trust issue. I always did, even though most of our stuff was connected to the criminal stuff we did anyway. So now, you know, we both living, you know, the best life we can. I just don't think that we're as close as we used to be. But then I've also learned some things that have happened to her. You know what I'm saying? That's not, you know, that she's, you know, maybe some cognitive stuff. So it has nothing to really do with me. So I don't take it personal.
Yeah.
I still treat her as kind and good and respectful when I'm around her. And just to me, it's nothing stepping in our way. But I'm okay with us not having the relationship that we used to have either. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. In other people's cases where the other person is a toxic person or there's been great harm, it's okay that... They obviously forgiveness doesn't mean that you let them back into your life. So
right.
Also forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting. I've heard people say, well, God says he forgives our sins as far as the East is from the West and how he forgets, but we're not God. And we are going to remember. And that is a hard part of forgiveness is still remembering what happened. Cognitively forgiving until you get to the emotional forgiveness, but I don't know of anybody that can forgive forget an offense. You always remember, but yeah.
I think that it goes back to something you said, cognitive and emotion. I go back to some situations in my life, and because I have such a great memory, I'm remembering pictures. So I'm, you know, like I said, he showed me how to dismantle them. But the difference is when they're dismantled, the emotion is not connected to them.
They're the power's out of them.
Yeah. So when he dismantles the picture and remantles it in a new way, for me, when I think about the situation, I see it from the new perspective, and the emotion that used to be, whether it was hurt, anger, distrust, whatever it was, it's not attached to that anymore. And that's how, for me, I know I have truly forgiven that person.
Yeah.
So when I see them or when I remember the situation, I don't, my voice don't go all up when I'm talking about it. And, you know, I mean, it's just certain clues that you get that you know that you still have not emotionally let go of it.
Yeah. You've not worked out all of the emotional forgiveness.
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 Well, that brings up number five as a myth. I should feel like I've forgiven them. So Like for me with my dad, in obedience to God, I cognitively forgave him over and over again when I was before God until I got to the, until I was able to process the emotion, and God got me to the part where I was able to process that and he was able to heal it. Then I felt the forgiveness. But initially, you may not actually feel forgiveness until you can process it in a healthy way. And again, dig deeper. Like, what is this really hitting up against? You may feel the pain of it, the hurt of it, the frustration of it, and still process it cognitively. So it's a myth that you're not forgiving them if you're not feeling the forgiveness. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do.
I used to quote the verse to myself of, until you feel the fruit of repentance. And repentance to me in that situation was forgiveness, until I felt the fruit of forgiveness. I had to keep forgiving, and I had to keep peeling that up onion until God got me to a point where he healed the trauma and the unforgiveness. So forgiveness doesn't mean that I never talk about the event again, because if I do, that means I haven't forgiven them. So talking about the facts of a situation, some people believe, and I've heard this from like my elders, well, I forgave that, so I'm not going to talk about that. Like that, it didn't happen, like an event didn't happen. Like,
and I think that not talking about it gives it more power, because I think
true.
The more you talk about it, you're able to process it even greater within your cognitive ability as well as your heart. So I think that if you're going to use it as a lesson for someone and yourself, and especially an example of, let me share with you what I've been through and how I did this, you can't just not talk about it. You
right.
can, but I think if you put it over there in the darkness, it just grows. And then it also grows other little thorns with it, and those are triggers and patterns. And next thing you know, it's substituting for something else. I think it has that power, too. So you have to be mindful. There's one thing to talk about it and to talk about the person. You can talk about the situation without ever mentioning the person. I think we just did that the other day. And when I talked about last night on our call, and I talked about the situation without ever mentioning the name.
Yeah.
And I think because when you mention people's name, then you change people's perspective of that person.
Right. Or you bring them in on your offense.
Right.
You
you bring them in, but you also have the influence to change people's perspective about other people based on what your experience. So just don't mention the name or or bring it up in a way where people know who you're talking about.
Yeah. That's good. Another myth, I have to be healed from the hurt in order to truly forgive. And I look at that myth as saying, like when I hear people say, well, I got to get myself all together before I come to God, before I enter into a relationship with God. And that's certainly not the case. God wants you just as you are. And forgiveness can take place right where you are as well. Obviously, the emotional forgiveness, that part of it, definitely involves healing, but you don't have to be perfectly processed every nuance of a situation in order to forgive it.
I believe that. I believe you don't have to be healed in order to forgive. Is that what the myth is?
Yeah, exactly. And I guess I just want to sum up everything so we can wrap this up. Just to say that forgiveness really isn't about the other person. They don't have to be involved in the process. Doesn't mean you have to have a relationship with them. But forgiveness really is all about you. And there's a reason why God commands it. And it's not because God wants to be, you know, this, like, just doling out these commands that you just have to obey. He has our good at the heart of everything that he tells us to do. So forgiveness really is about our freedom and being able to walk whole, even if the other person has never thought about the offense a day in their life. Is there anything you want to say in summary?
I just kind of wanted you to sum up freedom a little bit, because we talked about forgiveness, but did you have something on freedom as well?
I didn't, except to say that you walk in.
And what does freedom look like? And maybe we can dab into freedom a little bit on the next one called Reborn.
Oh, yeah.
Or Born Again. You know what I'm saying? But it's really about being reborn. And so maybe we can talk about some of the freedoms of having the opportunity to be reborn.
Oh, that's good.
Which, you know, reborn equals again. So you get to do it again. You get to find freedom again. You get to find, you know, so maybe we can kind of continue to elaborate and collaborate on freedom and again and reborn.
There you go. That's perfect. So that means for you folks, you guys need to join us for the next episode. I hope this has been enlightening to you, and I hope it has dismantled a few myths for you about forgiveness. This was a really big issue for me dealing with trauma, and most of us have dealt with trauma. So I know you guys have been there as well. So until next time, y'all take care.
Hi, guys. Every week we get the honor of spending time with you, sharing our hearts and offering insights into all the ways we get turned around as people, and hopefully showing an escape route to better choices. Another place that is offering the same type of path for better opportunities is City Gospel Mission. Since 1924, they've been a beacon of hope to the homeless, those recovering from life-controlling issues, youth, and to those needing job services. If you'd like to volunteer or donate, you can visit www.citygospelmission.org. That is www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lakrita Bowman.